Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. I'm not sure what just bloomed in the air, but my allergies have been so out of control. I so badly want to live the life where I can keep my doors open with this perfect spring weather, and I'm able to roll around in the grass outside with my littles and live a life without the gross congestion. But when my allergies are at their worst, I start having to compromise on life. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieves your allergy symptoms and decongests your nose so you can breathe better. This double-action combination of prescription-strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. I love that Claritin has an option for non-drowsy relief of allergy symptoms. With Claritin D, you can still make the most of your day without compromise. This means that I can have my windows down car dance sessions with my boys and help with yard work without the symptoms of my allergies popping up out of nowhere. Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Real Talk with Rachel Autry. I am so excited about today's episode because I'm inviting you to join me to delight in life by finding joy right where we are with my friend Janine Amapala Ward. She just got married, so she's got a lot of fun things to say about that. We talk about the ins and outs of living with a guy and roommates and all the things. But more importantly, today we're talking about all the things that she's learned from honestly hitting rock bottom. She shares a story about how she was once into partying and drinking and just trying to find happiness in life and filling those voids with so many of the world's things. And she shares things, details that she's really, truly never shared with anybody else besides in her new book, Becoming Happy and Healthy. Real life advice on friendship, dating, career, and everything else you care about. Janine is the sweetest thing. I'm so excited. She's a really cool follow online too. If you haven't seen her videos on YouTube or follow her online, like on Instagram, I highly recommend it. But today, Janine openly acknowledges wrestling with her toxic relationship, her hateful thoughts toward herself. She depended on alcohol for a while. She lived an unhappy and addicted lifestyle, but she transformed it and was challenged by a friend. And we talk about the importance of community and all the things. So if you are hitting rock bottom, or you know someone who has, or you're scared to, and you hope it doesn't take that to get to know a life of freedom with Jesus, then today's episode is for you because he is for you. It is for right now. And it is so good. So many good truths. I can't wait for you to hear and listen to. Janine, welcome to Real Talk with Rachel Autry, where we talk about all the things in life. I was telling you before we pushed record, this is truly just like a talk show. It's our first coffee date. It just happens to be recorded.
I love it. Well, thank you so much for having me, Rachel. I stalked her Instagram and I was just like, I feel like her and I would be friends. Where do you live?
Yes. Okay. I'm in Birmingham, Alabama.
Nice. Okay.
Can I tell you, I've met legit some of my best friends, like behind the microphone like this.
Gosh, do you know the amount of people from Birmingham that I have met or that are from there, and they're just the most down-to-earth people? Like my old roommate, my best friend, she's from there and she went to Auburn, and like everyone just raves about it. I'm like, okay, I have got to like scope this place out or something.
It's the real deal. So my husband and I moved to Birmingham about 8 years ago when we first got married, and it was not on our radar. We had a completely different idea of what this place would be. And so we were like, let's give it a shot. Like, there's nothing we can lose here. It's just our first fun adventure. And we've never left. Like, we've just loved it so much that we're like, maybe this is it. It's so legit. It's epic. You should come visit.
Yeah, I think I was there years ago. Okay. It's actually funny. I had an ex from Birmingham. So I think I went out there once. And I think it's scarred in my mind because of that. I'm like, I'm never going back. But yeah. Things can change. Saying, there's redemption.
There's redemption. There's friendship here. There's all the things. There's good eats. I'm like, yeah. Sorry that you found a guy in Birmingham. I don't know. If you're a guy listening and you're in Birmingham and you're a cool guy, you're a unicorn. I have single friends here and they're like, there's nothing. There's no one. I'm like,
wait, really? I thought that would be opposite. Like every girl's like, I get married at 19 in Birmingham. Like that's not the case.
I mean, maybe that's if you like meet your college sweetheart, but
yeah.
I don't know. The market is slim pickings.
Okay. Well, good thing we're both married.
I know, right?
Yeah. I don't worry about that.
My brother just moved to Birmingham and I'm like, so now there's one. There's one guy.
Nice. That's good.
Yes. Okay. But tell us who you are, because you have a really fun story too and a recent fun life change that I want you to tell all of our people about.
Absolutely. So my name is Janine Amapola, now Ward. I just got married 3 months ago. So I am now a Mrs., which is still such an adjustment for me. I love being married. It's literally so fun. Yeah. I'm 29. I'm from Dallas. I'm born and raised Dallas. I moved away for about 7 years and then came back 3 years ago. And I started this fun little thing. I started a podcast in July 2020 when I was bored out of my mind in the pandemic. And it turned into something so great. So if you're watching a video, I have my little screen or my little neon sign behind me. Happy and healthy. And I started doing social media about 13 years ago. Started off as a complete happy accident / joke in high school, where it just ended up evolving to something in college. And that's when my channel, like my YouTube channel, like blew up. And I would call myself sometimes the Hannah Montana of my college, because like I was student by day and then YouTuber by night. And I didn't want anyone to know I was doing it because I was so mortified, because social media was not cool at this time. It was like, why are you being a weirdo posting videos from your bedroom online for random people to see? And so I was pretty embarrassed. And so now I do podcasting. I speak. I have a book coming out March 26th. So it's right here. I know she has one too.
Should we like clink our books?
Yes. Virtually? Cheers them. Cheers. It's called Becoming Happy and Healthy, Real Life Advice on Faith or on Friendship, Dating, Career, and Everything Else You Care About. And really this book is a guide for people that are just trying to navigate life's most common struggles. So the book that I needed in my younger 20s, this was the book I needed. It just wasn't written yet. And so I was like, I'm going to write the book that I needed. And I wrote this book with so many DMs in mind, because the purpose why I wrote this was that, I mean, I'm sure you probably get this too, as people DM you with these questions and they're like, I don't know how to make friends. I'm insecure. I don't know how to date. This man broke my heart. How do I find a church? How do I know that God is speaking to me? And I compiled all the questions that people were consistently asking me through my journey of like, okay, I overcame this. And surely if I was struggling with that at the time, I know someone else is struggling with that. So I wrote like a little life manual to anyone struggling with life's most common problems to hopefully help them become happy and healthy.
That's so fun. The all the fun news that I've seen about it online is a blast to see. It's funny, this world, you get introduced to a lot of friends who are authors who have like written books or have these big projects that they're working on. And then to see it be like birthed into the world, I have so much respect for, because I know it takes so much love. And you didn't tell people you were writing a book until you already had written the book.
Yes. That was actually really hard, because I know a lot
That's
of authors.
A huge secret to keep.
Yeah. I just am very big on this thing where I used to not be big on this, where I would tell people all my business. I was like, I'm doing this and I'm going to do this. And then it was kind of embarrassing if it didn't happen. And so I didn't want people not trusting my word. And so what I started to do is I was like, I'm not going to share something until I know there's been like a contract signed or it's done, or I know it's for sure coming into fruition. And I just wanted it to be a surprise. And it was so funny because I had so many people, like, even though I was like, guys, I have a special announcement. Some people already knew, like they were like, oh, we already know it's a book. I found it on Amazon. I was like, what? Like, y'all are stalkers. But no, if you search me on Amazon, like the book popped up. So I don't blame them.
That's so funny. Oh, yeah. It's beautiful. And I feel like it's exactly what people our age need, because there is so much advice getting tossed around, especially if you add other platforms that there are now. I feel like anytime I open up an app and I start watching, I'm a little bit discouraged, because I'm like, yes, but no, like you're so close, but you, no, but not quite. And that is the difference of looking at this from a worldly lens versus a faith lens. And that's something I love that you've been able to do with this project. So,
well, thank you. So cool. I mean, it's so true. Like even when I think that was actually part of the reason why I wrote it was because you would go on TikTok and of course everyone's very loud on their opinions there. And I would just see some of the worst advice. And it was advice that I had followed back in the day. And I was just like, oh my gosh, like this is not helping people. This is misleading people. And so the reason why I like my book is because not only is it super practical, it's very biblical as well. So it's not just like what I think. It's A, what I know has worked because I've done it and I followed it by following God's word. And so God's, you know, God's word is a manual for our lives as well. And so I basically teach people, how do you navigate life's struggles through God's lens? If maybe there's someone that's not, you know, well equipped in the Bible or they're new at the Bible and they're like, I don't know how to find a Bible verse for my insecurities or my body image or how to make decisions in my life. Right. I'm like, well, here you go. I wrote it to you guys in a book so it could help you as well.
That's so cool. And that came from stuff you've already been through. So I kind of want you to share, like, who was the Janine 1.0? You're now Janine 2.0.
Yeah.
Like, who were you before where you realized, like, I've got to figure this out? And then I kind of want you to eventually talk how you figured it out. But who were you before when you realized this cannot be it? Like, this, there's no way that this is the life I'm supposed to be living. And what did it look for you?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It's been such a journey. And I'm so thankful that the Lord brought me through it because there was a point in my life where it was just, I was like at my rock bottom and I was very suicidal. I had a lot of anxiety. I hated myself. I hated the way I looked. I was so unhappy with who God made me to be. So I'm half and half. I'm half German, half Guatemalan. And so I grew up very insecure about my skin color, about my eye color, my hair color. And I basically just wanted to do anything and everything to fit in and conform to make people like me. And so that meant dressing a certain way, dyeing my hair, wearing color contacts, wasting money that I didn't need to be wasting to try to get people to like me. And that all basically manifested more in college. So I grew up in a Christian household, which thank you, Jesus, for that, because that seriously set the tone for my life. And I always knew who God was. Like, I always knew that God was real. I knew that what God told me to do was going to be the better way for me. But I felt like I was constantly in a tug of war between my spirit and my flesh for like 6+ years. And I know that's like forever an ongoing battle as a Christian, but like I genuinely, I just was in it. Like I was in the thick of it to where I knew the right thing to do, but instead I was choosing wrong. And so the way that manifested was, you know, in college, I would go to the frat parties and I would go out every single weekend and I got a fake ID. And I ended up getting a minor in possession in college where the cops got me in trouble for having alcohol as a minor. And I mean, I don't share these things very much. I mean, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's nerve-wracking. But that's just the truth. Like I was in the lowest of lows. And then I ended up getting myself involved in a very, very toxic relationship that I talk about in my book, which that goes more into details to where it had to become a legal issue where I had to get legal stuff involved against this person. And I mean, I really found myself at rock bottom. I lost 15 pounds because of how anxious I was. My hair was like thinning. I couldn't eat. And all meanwhile, I was still on the internet and I was posting videos and people were asking me, what is going on? Like you're being different. And then everyone kind of found out about the truth, what was going on. And it blew up on the internet. So not only was I personally dealing with things online, these videos went viral of me that people saw what I was going through in this toxic relationship because this man outed me online. So all that to say, I hit a really low point in my life where I was just like, God, like there's got to be more. And I wish I could say I immediately jumped back to like, okay, yay, I'm on my journey, you know? But no, I was still very unhealthy and I was healing and I still did not have people around me. And I think throughout my entire story, the thread that you'll see, and I talk about in my book, is I just didn't have good people around me helping me. Instead, people were bringing me lower or they weren't really helping me find freedom. It was kind of putting a Band-Aid, and I'm not blaming people, but it's like my responsibility. And I didn't have anyone really helping me, guiding me through this journey. And so I would say, not only until 2019, when I moved to California, because I thought running away from my problems would solve my problems. And, you know, funny enough, they actually follow you. So I moved to California in 2019. And I finally was like, I'm sick of this lifestyle. I'm sick of the partying. I'm sick of chasing money and fame and followers. I feel so empty. I'm sick of chasing the fad diets and the appearance. Finally met with a mentor, and she, oh my gosh, she called me out. I mean, she
said,
"Those
are the best, though."
Oh, it's the best thing ever. And she said, "Janine, you are living a double life. You are a hypocrite." Mm-hmm. And it, oh my God, it just hit me like a ton of bricks. And I mean, the tears, and I talk about this right in my book, like the tears just like welded up, and I just started shaking because I knew she was right. And so it wasn't until that moment when someone, you know, truthfully but lovingly called me out, because that's what, you know, truth should be, is it should help you and call you higher, but still be seasoned mm-hmm. with love. She said, you know, you've got to make a difference. If you don't change your life, no man's going to want to marry you. No godly man's going to want to marry a girl like you. And I mean, again, another sucker punch to the face where I was like, ow, I'm going to be single forever. And so it wasn't until that time that I finally was like, I'm ready to make a difference. And so my journey started from there. It was from 2019 to 2020 was the biggest shift of my entire life.
That's huge. I think I'm hearing so many things from this story, because I think there's a lot of people that are going through hard stuff. So there's the blanket statement. The thing that I hear you say is that although you had someone in your life call you out, call you higher, love you by giving truth, which is love. I hate it.
Well,
I think there's this like the shift, especially in our generation, where if someone tells you something that you don't like to hear, you're like, this is an individualized experience with Jesus. Like, I can decide what my truth is. I can decide, you know, like, I want to make sure I'm putting this well. But this bigger idea that if someone tells you something that's hard to hear, that for someone somewhere gave us the permission to write it off and be like, well, then that can't be true. Like, if that's, they don't know me. But for you to be able to sit there, accept the hard truths that this person who loved you, wanted you to be able to hear and actually start changing your life, is actually sanctification. It is like actually what God calls us to do, and not just write off the things that are hard to hear. Because
I think a lot in this generation, there's a lot of sensitivity.
Yes.
And sensitivity. Yeah. Like, you're offending me, and you don't know me, and only God can judge me. And, you know, sometimes that statement, only God could judge me, I kind of laugh at it. I'm like, that's the most terrifying thing you should be saying, because if God is judging you, like, he's the most important thing. And that is true. Like, he will judge you. And so we should be aware of that. And I think we should all come to a point of our lives where we're like, okay, God is going to judge me one day. One day I'm going to stand before him and take an account for my actions. So what are those actions that I'm doing? But in this generation where it's very sensitive, you know, it's so hard to communicate that without someone being like, I'm setting my boundaries, I'm cutting you off. You know, you don't care about me, you don't love me, which, I mean, the truth is hard to hear sometimes, but we all need it. If you want to grow and do anything in your life, if you want to be successful, if you want to date, if you want to better yourself, you need someone to speak truth into you and speak it into you lovingly, but consistently.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So this reminded me, I had to look it up because I was like, I want to make sure I say this right. Psalm 139, 23 through 24 says, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Like, that can only happen sometimes if we have the people in our life that are like, girl, I'm searching your heart with the Lord. I want the best for you. I'm seeing these offensive ways in you. You are better. Let's be better. Like, let's chase after Jesus together. And we need those people in our life. And so as hard as it is, as uncomfortable as it is, as offensive as it might be, to believe the best, that those people also want the best for you, is a good place to start. And that's how you found freedom. That's how you found change, is by listening to something that was really tough. So
absolutely. And I would say, you know, what is paired with that is not only allowing someone to speak into me, but also being actually willing to listen, because people can talk all day long. People can give you their advice or their thoughts all day long. I mean, I'm sure we all know that friend that consistently goes back to their ex, or they're like, I know he's not good for me. I know he's not good for me. And you're like, okay, then like maybe don't go back. And it's basically like they're just wanting to vent. They're not actually wanting accountability. They're not wanting actually to be teachable. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's kind of the difference, is like people can give you advice, but if you're not willing to receive it and listen and actually implement it, then we're all just talking here. And so I had to get to a point where my heart was ready for that change. And it reminds me of that Bible verse. I think it's a parable, the parable of the sower, when like the seeds that fall on the path, or the good soil, that the good soil is the person that's ready to take that word and actually store it up in their heart and make those changes. And then they get the blessings back because of that. But the path person is someone that doesn't have a foundation, or they hear it and it lasts for a second and then it's snatched away or it's gone. And so I think if anyone's listening, look up that parable. I think it's the parable of the sower, and determine which one you are, because for so long in my life, I was the person that was like, that sounds great. Yay. Love it. And then immediately the next day I would forget about it, go back to my old ways. And I'm like, well, what good did that get me? So be the person with the good soil, to when someone speaks to you, you don't immediately take it as offensive, and hopefully they're speaking to you in a kind way, to where you're like, okay, I can implement this in my life and maybe listen. Is there something I need to take here and apply to my life?
Oh, so good. And we all have room to grow. We all listen, someone needs to be having those conversations about some things in my life right now with me. And the conviction sometimes can come straight from Holy Spirit. Conviction a lot of times can come from your people around you in your village too. So another important reason to have a good village that loves you, wants the best. Amen. So I feel like there's those people listening today that are like, I'm obviously walking in something that I'm like, so my friend Kelly sent me a text the other day that I think was really funny and you would probably relate to. It was about how we plan to conquer the summer together while both of our boys' preschools and Mother's Day out options, well, they're no longer options for the summertime. Listen, I am all about creating fun summertime memories, but the morning coffee date with friends, the opportunity to clean up the house while the boys were in school, and getting some work deadlines met are now a little bit more challenging. But I have found us all a solution. There is an incredible app called Wendy that connects families and college student nannies. They are background checked, interviewed, and the sweetest. Not only are you able to meet your childcare needs, but you could also help those college students that are looking for summer jobs. There's options for part-time help and full-time help, whatever your childcare needs are. Wendy has a match for all of them this summer. All you have to do is go to wendy.com/realtalk to start a search for a nanny. And as a special offer, they are going to knock $50 off your search if you go through that link. Wendy provides top-notch service, but at a fraction of the cost of traditional nanny agencies, and there's no ongoing fees. So here's how it works. Go to wendy.com/realtalk to start your search. A Wendy concierge will find great matches for your job and set up interviews for you. Then you choose the one you like. Get started now, though, because there are a lot of parents out there looking for nannies for the summertime, just like you and I. Go to wyndy.com/realtalk right now to start your search.
Well, good day to you. It's Joel with The King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
I know, like, if anyone saw it, if it was made public, I am already like pre-convicted. This is something that I need to step away from. But I also feel like there's a group of people listening today where maybe they are doing the tough stuff we're asking them to do. They're trying to show up in the ways that are different. They're trying to walk in a way that's edifying to the Lord, and just life is happening. Because there's, you know, there's the people where tough stuff happens no matter how well, quote unquote, you're doing life.
Right.
And I want to know, like, what would your encouragement be for someone that's like, I love it. Or even someone that's like, I read your book. Like, it's amazing. And I am trying to do these practicals, but life, I feel like, keeps knocking me down, because that's reality too. And I want to make sure those people definitely hear us say that it's not like A plus B equals C always, because we don't have that control.
Absolutely. I think that's a great question. I talk about that a lot in my book, where, you know, you could see the title of my book and you could say, oh my gosh, I want to become happy and healthy. How do I do it? What's the solution? And I talk about in the book specifically to that, where, you know, God never says there won't be trials and tribulations, but he does mm-hmm. promise that I will be with you during those trials and tribulations. And yes. so if you're that person that's like, hey, I read your book, I'm going through this, I'm doing everything I can in my power, and it's still not working. I have this phrase where I say, control what you can control and release what you can't. So you do your best, you do your part, you pray, mm-hmm. you meet with people, you read your Bible, you go on those daily walks, you work on your discipline so you can control the things that you can control. And not in a way where you're like trying to be your own God of your life, but then release what you can't. And so if there's something like a sickness in your family's life or a divorce you're going through or a toxic friend or whatever, those are the ones that you're just going to have to call upon the Lord and say, God, give me the strength and the power to overcome mm-hmm. these things. Because as human beings, like, we can't overcome these by ourselves. We cannot do right. this by ourselves. Like, we were never meant to be our own savior. Otherwise, Jesus died on the cross was all in vain. Like, it was for nothing. And so I just try to encourage people, like, do the things that I recommend in this book that are going to benefit your life of helping mm-hmm. you mentally, physically, spiritually, and emotionally. But those things that you just can't control, know that there's seasons. Like I talk about in my chapter 2 and 3, that there's seasons for certain things, of seasons of weeping, seasons of lamenting, but seasons of rejoicing, seasons of celebrating and having plenty. And then there's some seasons of having lack. And so determining, what is my season? Like, where am I in? But knowing that it's a season for a reason, like it's called a season, yeah. just like the leaves change and it goes from winter to spring. So will your situation change? And I don't know when that is or how that's going to happen. But I also know that God is a good God that wants more good for you than you want for yourself. And he cares so much about your situation and your pain and whatever, but he also wants you to lay it at his feet, to give it to him and not carry it any longer by yourself. Because mm-hmm. again, remembering, like, you're not your own hero. God is the hero of the story here. So let him be the hero.
Better preach. Janine.
That's what I'm saying, girl.
Hey,
she came out.
But it is true. Like, and I think it's a big question to this whole conversation is your why. Like, are you implementing these things that you're asked, you know, like we're asking you to do, or you grew up in church thinking was the right way because it's the box to check? Or are you doing it because, you know, life will get hard? Because we are promised that we're going to be persecuted? Because we yeah. know, like, we've been told, you know, we're going to face trials of many kind, but take heart because Jesus has overcome the world. If that is why you're doing these things, is to create margin in your life so that you can be mentally with it, to be in tune and actually spend time in the Word and enjoy it. Not just spend time in the Word so you can check the box and move on throughout your day, or because you're expecting the benefits of God in return. Like,
right.
It's a relationship. It's a walk. Kind of like you, like, I'm sure you're experiencing a marriage now. You're like, well,
yes,
we're married. There's a covenant signed here. I don't have to date you, but I want to get to know you. Like, we're married, whether we go on a date every week or not. Like, you know, with dating, if you went 6 months without seeing each other, you're like, wait, are we still dating? Like, who are you? But now that you're married, you're like, okay, like, it really is up to us to choose discipline, to show up for one another, to get to know one another. And it's the same with our walk with the Lord. It's like, okay, yeah. I'm a believer. I have a relationship with Jesus, but do I want to show up and learn about his character and see how that can affect my life, my relationships, and then therefore, like, be that for others? It's the why. Yeah. Do I hear that?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's so important, because I think if we just, same thing with our parents, if we don't understand the why, we're just going to think our parents are bossing us around and just yes. trying to give us a bunch of rules and regulations. mm-hmm. And there's this saying that says rules without relationship equals rebellion. And that Ooh. Was most of my childhood, was that my dad's from Germany. So he very strict. I mean, you better clean on this day.
How better look like German this? Of like what I would think in my mind as far as like structure, order. I don't know but, why.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm thinking like Parent Trap, like the Von Trapp family. Maybe that's why I'm thinking.
No, exactly. I mean, literally, it's so funny. I tell my friends when
Not
they're
the
like,
Parent Trap, what the Sound of Music is what I meant. Yeah.
Yeah. The Sound of Music. Yes.
Yeah.
when he whistles and the kids have to come running down the stairs. My dad did that like with his mouth, where he did this like massive whistle and you better get your butt downstairs. And so it was scary sometimes, but you know, it's all because my dad loved us. It's because he wanted to protect his children. And so if we don't understand the why behind anything that God does, like we're just going to want to rebel and run the opposite way. And so with anything, you have to know your why. With anything, you have to know, why am I doing this? Why does God say this? Not just don't do it, because if you were only doing it out of being scared, or God just told me to do this, but I don't really understand the heart posture behind it, you're going to fail. You're going to want to run away. I think that's why religion really is more of a curse than a blessing to people, than a relationship with God. And I think that's why I see so many people that grew up in like quote unquote religious families. They're like, I want nothing to do with this.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that like, is there anything in your own life or experience that you've dealt with that too?
Oh, that's a good question. Kind of in the best way. Like I grew up in a family, I say it's like a VeggieTales home. It's kind of how I grew up. We watched VeggieTales. We like prayed over our meals. It was beautiful. I feel like I truly got to know the gospel through the ways that my parents put it on display. And I'm grateful for that. So I hope no one hears any differently. But, yeah. but I lost my dad in an accident when I was in high school. And it wasn't until then that I realized that my relationship with the Lord was dependent on my dad, that there was no individual relationship. Wow. So I say it wasn't that I grew up in like a religious home in the sense where religiosity was the spirit of it. It wasn't it. But I did learn very quickly that it has to be a Rachel signs up to do life with Jesus. Nobody else signs Rachel up to do life with Jesus. I can't be fed through somebody else. It's not healthy. So similar in that sense, where I saw the difference between religion and relationship. Like I, maybe I don't actually know the Lord. Like I thought I knew the Lord. I knew who I thought the Lord was supposed to be based off of how Bill McAfee told me the Lord was supposed to be for me. And so it took a while for just me to like, I guess, decide for myself, do I believe this? Is this bogus? Like, if it is true, how can it be true? And ask those really hard questions. And I think that's something we all have to go through. Kind of like you hitting rock bottom. Like, I hope that someone listening doesn't have to hit rock bottom to get curious about who God is. That's not what I'm saying. But also, like a bad thing can be a good thing if it's a God thing. My friend Grace Valentine says that.
And I love Grace.
She's amazing. Grace, we love you. She's like, a bad thing can be a good thing if it's a God thing. And so your rock bottom is not the final say. It's not the period at the end of the sentence. It can be a semicolon. But you have to decide that there has to be more. Kind of like your story too, Janine, you know?
Yeah. And I love that you said that, because I feel like a lot of people, I actually think they have to hit rock bottom, or they're like, no, I just need experiences for myself, or I have to try it in order for me to know. And I think that was a lot of my mentality growing up, which I wish I didn't do that, where I was like, no, I just got to see for myself. And that mindset actually further enslaved me, further caused me to live a life of regret and poor choices. And so I feel like when you get that revelation of who God is and why he says that, and why the Bible is instructing you, hey, be careful with alcohol, stay sober-minded, don't follow your heart is deceitful. All the things that the Bible tells us, like that would have prevented me and many other people so much pain, so many poor decisions, if we had just listened. And so I think there's a lot of times when like, yeah, I get these people who DM me and they're just like, no, I just got to try for myself. And I'm like, I hope to God that you don't have to have my story. You don't have to hit rock bottom to finally see God's ways are better. And I pray that you get that revelation sooner than later, so that you're not, you know, looking back with a trail of tears of everything behind you that you're like, man, I could have prevented that if I had just listened to God.
Yes. Like, what if all that energy could be spent towards chasing Jesus and not having to heal while you chase Jesus?
Yeah.
Like, there's things that I feel like I'm still having to chase healing for and reconcile and repair that. Like, I made the choice to do the destruction, you know? And I'm like, man, where would I be? Like, what kind of relationship with the Lord would I have? And he's faithful. He's good. He shows up anyways. Like, wow, so merciful, right? But what kind of relationship would I have with the Lord? I almost like have to ask myself, if we haven't spent so much time over the the whys and like the repair of all the destruction that I caused myself. So yeah, I'm with you. I'm like, I want us to be the fun big sisters for people that are like, watch out, landmine. Like, yeah, don't step there. And people would actually listen.
Yeah.
And it takes us sharing our stories. So that's why I wanted to honor you, because it takes you opening up and sharing things that make you cringe. And this reality, it's like where you were.
You haven't even seen all the cringy stories. Like, it, as I was writing the book and I'm putting in this story, I'm like, oh my gosh, I cannot believe I am telling the world.
You can't take it back.
This story. Yeah. And it's like about to be out. And I'm like, oh, everyone's going to know what I did. But it's like such an important thing, because I really do feel like vulnerability provokes more vulnerability. Like when you go first, you lead first, you say, this is what I've been through. You'd be surprised the amount of people that are like, oh my gosh, I thought I was alone. I thought no one else struggled with that, but besides me. Like one of my struggles I talk about in the book is I got exposed to pornography at a very young age, like when I was 10. And it was just on the TV. I was flipping through the channels. It popped up. So because my parents were like, I was so sheltered, they never gave me the birds and bees talk. So I didn't even know what was happening. Like, I was like, what are they doing? Why is that going there? Like, I was freaking out. That's hilarious. And I didn't know what sex was. And so that was my, like, I was exposed to pornography. And that enslaved me most of high school and for like 4+ years until finally the Lord broke it off of me at a youth camp. But, you know, again, like most girls, they're like, oh, only guys deal with this. Or if they have seen it, they're so ashamed, riddled with guilt, riddled with just like this secrecy. And so I talk about that in my book because I want other women to know too, like, hey, you're not the only one that has seen this or that has struggled or has had these desires, but here's how you overcome it. And so vulnerability is so powerful. And I think that's just what God wants us to do, is use our stories to set other people free.
Amen. Ugh, that is like one of the silliest things about the enemy to me, is he just wants to keep us confused and quiet. And he's like, if I can convince you that you're the only person who's thought that, who said that, who's done that, who hasn't done that, then you're going to feel so alone to where I can manipulate you way more easily than if you were to go out in public and confess, which is why I think it's so important that we find people we can confess things to share secrets and be like, I can't hold this for myself anymore. You need to carry this with me. Because in those moments we feel met. What is it? A burden shared is half a burden. It's true, but it's like, if I can share something that I'm walking through, somebody else can feel met with where they are.
Yeah.
A burden shared is a half burden. And so it's the same.
I really like that. That's awesome. Yeah,
this is our challenge to people listening. Like, go have a good coffee date with a friend, maybe even in private, and be like, I have to get something off my chest. Like, I need somebody to walk through this with me. Like, the girl listening knows it's her. Do you know what I mean? Have you ever like been in a moment where you just feel like someone's directly speaking to you?
Oh yeah.
So listening and feel like we're directly speaking to you. We are lovingly directly speaking.
We are. Like, just like that lady called me out, I'm going to lovingly call you out and challenge you. Because I know that feeling, like it's like when you're listening or you're at church and you feel like everyone just disappears in the auditorium. And I'm like, and you're like, is the pastor like looking directly at me?
Straight into my soul.
And you're panicking. Like, that's what happened to me when I got broken free from my struggle with pornography, because I was at this youth camp called Youth for the Nations. And I remember the pastor said, like, if you've been carrying something for so long and you have a secret, secret that you've been just hiding from everybody, I want you to come down to the front and I want you to like release it here and like finally confess it. And you know, your palms start sweating.
Oh, your heart is racing. Yes.
Yeah. And you're like looking around, you're like, is anyone else going to go? And I finally was just like, okay, I'm just going to do it. And I'm so glad I did, because I have not struggled with it since. So thank you, Lord.
That is beautiful. There is something so special too about, I think, admitting, like confessing with your tongue, standing up, like making the public move. The enemy can lose so much power in this moment. So I love that story.
It's terrifying, but it is so worth it.
But rewarding. I love it. That's so good. Okay. One fun question that I want to ask you. Okay.
Okay.
This is like completely different tangent. We're about to like, but you are, I want to guess, 3 months married.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. We did it. Yep. Who knows by the time this episode comes out, how long? She's probably been married for longer, people, but 3 months married. What has been your favorite part of marriage, and what's been something about marriage that you're like, oh, no one told me about that part?
Oh my gosh, I love this question. So yes, I'm very much still a newlywed. I'd say the most fun part is it genuinely is so fun. Like I was not expecting it to be this fun. I love waking up and he's there and you get like the morning snuggles. I love just doing everything with him. Like we work out together. We go to coffee shops together. He is my business partner. He and I have the same friend group. Like we just love being together. He was gone for like a guy's night the other day for like 5 hours. And I was like texting him like, can you please come back?
Are you okay?
Yeah. I was like, are you alive? Like, don't leave me. And so I didn't realize just how fun it would be. Like just doing the mundane, cleaning with him, grocery shopping is so freaking fun. Yeah. I think the unexpected part is living together because we didn't live together before marriage. And so we're learning all about who cleans what, laundry. I'm like, why is your sock next to the laundry hamper and not in the laundry hamper? Yeah. Or I'm like, did you forget to flush the toilet? Like stuff like that, that I'm just like, oh my gosh, Janine, don't be a nag. Don't be a nag. But it's like, I lived alone and I have my own house. And so he moved in. So it's like, that's the adjustment part where I'm like, this is my space. And then I'm like, wait, no, this is our space now. Like releasing that control is, it's a lot, but it's still such a fun process.
That is so fun. So fascinating. Oh my gosh. Yeah. That's like the one thing that most of my friends say when I ask them and they've been married for a few months. I'm like, so like, what's been a surprise? And yeah. They're like, well, I didn't know he did this and that's weird, you know, and it's typically about chores, home, like roommate kind of stuff.
That's the thing is it's so tough with like when you're not married before you can't
or
not married
but you're not living here
before. How can you know? Yeah. What was that like for you though? Because how long have you been married?
Okay, going on 8 years, the first few months we were married. This is a fun fact. I don't know if many people know this, but we got married right off of our honeymoon. We moved to California. We did ministry life for a while and lived in a camper, 100 square foot camper.
Whoa. In California?
Yeah.
In like San Diego or where?
It was epic. A super Pacific Northwest area, like Yreka, California, if anybody knows where that is.
Wow. What a cool adventure.
It was an adventure for sure, which is why we're in Birmingham. So we're grateful for it. But we did that for about like 4 years, not the camper part, but the ministry part, and like lived in other places too. But it was funny because we went from living long distance. We were like 2 hours in college. After college, we still were far away from each other, got married, moved into a camper. So like our living arrangement was very peculiar. And it's funny, we've like slowly upgraded our living arrangement. Like every move, we get a little bigger. And so now we have space. We're not on each other's toes, but it's just so funny. Like,
I love that. I'm like, when you're young and you don't have kids, I'm like, go on an adventure.
Go do it.
That is so cool, in my opinion. I love that.
It was so fun. It's the memories we'll still talk about, you know?
That's awesome.
It was so worth it. But it was, I don't recommend it. If you don't have to do it, the trailer life is not for everybody.
Yeah, I don't think that would be my life.
Well, here's the thing. They did offer us a really beautiful home. It just was like shared with people. And this is like TMI, but it was studio. So like none of the walls touched the ceiling. You're going to put somebody 6 days into marriage, start off their honeymoon into a shared living arrangement.
Oh no.
We're like, please don't do that to us. And they're like, okay, well, the only other option is like this trailer we could clean up for you. And we're like, why not? And
so
we'll take it. Some private space.
Yeah. Like for your sake, you probably don't want us to be here.
I know. Like that's not going to be fun for anybody. Yeah. We took pictures, we made the most of it and just was an adventure from day one. So
that's so cool. I love that.
I know. Everyone's got such interesting little stories and it's never the fairy tale people think that it's going to be, not in a bad way, but not in a good way. It's just like totally going to be different than what people expect. And you don't know till you do it. So I love when people share their stories because I'm like, okay, see, it's different for everybody.
Totally. And Instagram, you cannot measure yourself to Instagram. Everyone's showing the perfect, fun, kissy, romantic moments. And I'm like, you're not putting your fights online. You're not putting when, you know, he threw something at you or not even like being abusive, but like, you know, you guys get mad at each other or someone slams the door. Like
dish sponge.
Yeah, the sponge or the dish, whatever. Not the dish, like the dish sponge or the dish brush. Like no one's broadcasting those moments. So I'm just like, okay, everyone, just realize every couple goes through it.
It's so normal. So anyways, welcome, Janine and Caleb.
Thank you.
It's so fun.
We'll accept the prayers.
Yeah, it's so fun. But I am so grateful that you came and spent some time with us today. One more fun rapid fire question. That's totally, again, we're even going a little bit more tangent here. Doesn't have to be spiritual in the slightest, but we love asking our friends that come on, what's something that you love that you have to share with people listening to you today?
Ooh, is that like a product? Is that anything that I want?
Open-ended, baby. It could be product, it could be song, it could be recipe, it could be a life thing, like anything that you're loving that you're like, I have to share this with you.
Ooh, I need a second to think about this. Okay.
Most people do. So you go, girl.
I'm like, what am I just like loving right now? I would say, well, this is like a newer thing for us, but my husband has problems sleeping. And I just like to take this before bed, but we've been drinking this new powder called Beam. And yes. I don't know if you've heard of it. Yeah. Have you used it?
No.
Okay.
I don't need really trouble. Good. I don't need help sleeping. That's the thing. So, like, I'm so nervous to use it. I might not ever hear my babies wake up in the middle of the night.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe then not, because I know you have kids. For me, so I don't need it. He drinks it almost every night, but I love the taste of it. The mint, sure. The mint one is so good. And we just love before bed. Like, we'll be sitting in bed reading and we're both drinking our little mugs and out of our mugs and like cheering each other. And it just puts you right to sleep. But I wouldn't say drink it like 30 minutes before you go to sleep. Like, drink it like an hour before. Be prepared. It may give you some funky dreams, but like the whole vibe of it, of like having a little chocolatey drink, going to sleep, it soothes you down. We really, really like it. And it's like a little thing that we just get to do together. So I really like Beam. I definitely say check out the mint flavor.
Okay. Well, for friends listening, this is like the fourth time this week I've heard of it. My husband is a pilot and he's like oftentimes trying to sleep in hotels and he's like, I just need my own bed and my wife. Like, this is just not working. I know. Sweet guy.
That's a cool job. Wow.
Yeah. It's really fun. And it comes with some cool perks, but sleep is not one of them. And so to hear about Beam so many times this week, I'm like, okay, I know what I'm doing after this.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, thank you so much just for spending time being honest, getting real, cutting the fluff, all the things that we needed from you about your story and what God's doing in your life. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me, Rachel. This was so fun. I really love your hosting style. So I love when it just feels conversational and relaxed. Yes. And I'm like, yes, this was super fun. So thanks for having me on.
Of course. Thanks so much for listening to another episode with us. It would mean the most if you took 30 seconds and left us a 5-star review in whatever platform that you're listening in right now. It's one of the best and free ways that you can love on us. So don't forget that anything we mention in today's episode, from resources, products, and more, can all be found in our show notes at realtalkwithrachel.com. For more updates, behind the scenes, and fun chats, head over to Instagram and follow us at Real Talk Podcast.